breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball. This is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Hey, warmer from the low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you as we're going to be joined by one of our good friends in segment number two, Curtis Rogers, who does such amazing work over at 710 Seattle Sports. We have to chat with him about what we're all seeing with the Seattle Mariners. Cade Anderson, the fact that he is going to be making his MLB debut, that's going to be amazing to take a look at. We have to take a look at the landscape of a very, very, very murky American League. And then in the final segment, I'm going to get you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this baseball Saturday as we touch them all. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one or two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter slash X timeline at GUnit underscore 81. Keep in mind, Larzium, naming does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. While I did not get in any Twitter slash X questions, we did have ourselves a great day of baseball on Friday. Let's take a look back at it, try to find some trends, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
In the Battle of Aces, Jacob Mizorowski and the Brewers prevailed 2-1 the final. If you like me, I had the over 16 men left on base. That was less than savory, but Mizorowski was 6 shutout innings, 6 punch outs along the way. Antonio Senzatello gives up a run in 2 innings, and then Trevor Miguel shuts the door for a scoreless 9th inning. Chris Sale, well, he didn't sell. He gave up 2 runs in 6 innings, but unfortunately, they had Jacob Mizorowski on the flip side for Milwaukee. Brent Suter and the Dodd father, Dylan Dodd, were both able to give you a scoreless inning, but not a lot of offense in that game. Not a lot of offense out there in New York either. 3-1, the Yankees are able to get the job done against the Toronto Blue Jays as Cam Schlittler, he's going for that Cy Young Award. We'll see Dylan Cease on Saturday. 1 run allowed in 6 innings. We'll see what Cease does to match that or try to exceed that, or in this case, might fall down the toilet bowl on Saturday, but good performance here. Brent Hendrick, Paul Blackburn, David Benar. They do not move the Benar. They'll give you a scoreless inning. Mason Flaherty, the opener. Pair of outs out of the opener spot, scoreless, but he did throw 14 pitches and only got 4 strikes. From there, Spencer Arrighetti, no, not mom, spaghetti, 3 runs allowed over the course of 3 1/3 innings. Did have Spencer Jones, Jacob D, 7th home run season. Rest of the bullpen was solid. Simeon Woods Richardson, Paul Sewald, Braden Fisher, Brandon Little. I'll give you a scoreless inning, but for the Blue Jays, 1 of 14 with men in scoring position. A team that was able to score, the Boston Red Sox, 6-4. They take down the San Francisco Giants. Logan Webb, 2 2/3 innings. He gives up 5 runs, all of which were earned, including a home run to Wilson Contreras, 26th home run of the season. From there, the bullpen was not too bad. Jason Foley, 2 scoreless innings. Revier, St. Martin, 2 scoreless innings. Trent Harris, he gives up a run in 1 1/3 innings. And for Boston, you did have Sonny Gray, not have the sunniest of days. 4 runs allowed over the course of 6 innings. Rafael Devers, 26th home run of the campaign. And then Drew Gilbert, his 7th. But Eric Miller, Alec Gamboa, and Aroldis Chapman, they all give you scoreless innings to clean that one up. The Miami Marlins clean things up with a 3-2 win over the Washington Nationals. Brad Lord says, oh Lord, 2 shutout innings in his open, actually 2 2/3 innings. And then Will Dion, 3 scoreless innings. His heart did not stop there, but it stopped when Tom Cosgrove came out of the bullpen. 2 runs allowed in 1/3 inning. Orlando Robalta, 4 outs out of the bullpen, scoreless. And Clayton Beater, he walked 3 and gave up a run in his inning of work. And the Marlins win this game despite leaving 11 men on base. As Ryan Gusso, yes, made Gusso to 4 shutout innings. Tyler Zuber does give up a home run to Kibe Ruiz, 8th home run in the campaign. Josh Eknis, a scoreless inning. Kate Gibson, 1 2/3 innings, scoreless. Calvin Foshé, pair of outs out of the bullpen, scoreless. And Pete Fairbanks does give up a run in an inning, but enough to be able to get the job done there. The Phillies do enough to get the job done. 7-6, they take down the Cardinals. As Aces Cesardo continues to have issues at home. 4 runs allowed in 5 2/3 innings. Jordan Walker took him deep. 27th home run season. And Joshua Bias, 4th home run season. First since that 3-home run game. From there, Tim Mesa, pair of outs out of the bullpen, scoreless. Orion Kirkring, 4 out scoreless. Brooks Raley does not go off the rail. He's an out scoreless. Yohan Duran was able to give you a scoreless inning. And then he had in the 10th inning an unearned run given up by Alex McFarland. Meanwhile, for the St. Louis Cardinals, it was a relatively short start here for Hunter Dobbins. 3 runs allowed over the course of 4 innings. Caleb Ferguson, 2 runs allowed in 1 1/3 innings. Gordon Graceffo, pair of outs out of the bullpen, scoreless. Justin Brule, 2 scoreless innings. And Luis Castillo comes in the 10th inning, does not get a single out. Alec Bohm, he was able to have a RBI triple. That ended the game. This team was able to end things very nice, clean, and easily. The Houston Astros, 4-0. They take down the Athletics. Hayne Wesneski was great in this start. 5 shutout innings, only allowed 1 hit. From there, Bennett Sosa, Brian Abreu, Steven Okert, Anya De Los Santos, I'll give you a scoreless inning. JT Ginn, well, not a lot of juice with this performance. 3 runs allowed over the course of five innings, but there wasn't a lot of juice on offense as well for the Athletics. Elvis Alvarado was in the building for a squirrels inning. Drew Rum gives up a run in one and a third innings. Hayden Junger, pair of outside the bullpen squirrels, but nothing doing out there. A lot doing for the Royals, though. 5-2, they take down the Detroit Tigers. Troy Melton gives up three runs, two of which were earned in 5 2/3 innings, as he was taken deep by Kyle Isbell. Fifth home run of the campaign, and then Vinny Pascantino, his eighth home run season. Carter Jensen later on off of Tyler Holden's 17th home run season. Holden gives up a solo home run in his inning work. Ty Mann, a run given up in an inning, and then Emmanuel De Jesus out of the bullpen squirrels, and Noah Cameron. For the fifth time in his last six starts, he gives up two earned runs or fewer. Five shutout here. Jose Quas, a squirrels inning. Now John Schreiber gives up two runs in 2/3 innings. Steven Cruz, Farhad Squirrels, and Nate Peterson. He was able to give you a squirrel saying the Mets did get up by a count of 4-0 on the White Sox. They lose by a count of 6-4, though, as for Sean Manea, four runs allowed over the course of six innings. He gives up three bombs. Randall Grichuk, his 11th home run of the campaign. Miguel Vargas, his 29th, and Colson Montgomery, his 27th. And then it was an unlikely source, Jake Rogers, who's hit less than a buck 80 this year. Walk-off home run in the ninth, his fourth of the campaign. Jeffrey Yan, he was not jumping for joy on this one. 2/3 of an inning, he gives up that walk-off homer. Nate Lavender, Dane Duarte, two shutout innings out of them combined for Sean Burke. He gives up four runs over the course of his six innings. Taken deep by Bo Bichette, 13th home run season, but Jordan Nix, Brian Hudson, and Grant Taylor, they were all able to turn scoreless innings, being able to give you quite a few scoreless innings. The Walker Texas Rangers, 2-1 in 10 innings. They take down the LA Angels. Reed Demers, a solid performance here, six shutout innings. Mackenzie Gore, six shutout innings. From there for the Angels in their bullpen, Jose Fermin, Taylor Cicado, and Ryan Watson. Alternate squirrel setting, Cole Wynn, Jay Silseth, Jacob Lyons. I'll give you a squirrel setting for the Rangers. This was 0-0 going into the 10th. Tyler Alexander gives up an unearned run in the 10th. And then Ben Joyce, two unearned runs given up in the 10th as he was hurt by a Denzar Guzman error. And that was very costly here for the LA Angels, who are now 22-42 away from home. And seems as though the Orioles have the raised number. They have now won four games against them in the last 10 days, 5-3. Orioles get the job done. Trevor Rogers was in the neighborhood, giving up three runs over the course of seven innings. He was taken deep by the Piper. Home run number one of the season for Kenneth Piper. Congratulations to him, but that was the highlight for them as Freddie Peralta continues to be awful. Five runs allowed over the course of seven innings as Pete Alonso gets his 30th home run season. Dylan Beavers, his sixth. Garrett Clevenger from there, a squirrel setting, but Uncle Rico Garcia and Andrew Kittredge, squirrels eighth and ninth innings for the Orioles to be able to get that one to the window. Being able to get this one to the window, the Cleveland Guardians 9-1, total domination over the Rockies as Joey Cantillo gives up one run in 4 2/3 innings. From there, you had Tim Herron give you far outside of the bullpen squirrels. Colin Urban, Craig Yoho, Matt Vesa, they all had a fiesta for a squirrel setting. And Tanner Gordon, five runs allowed in 5 1/3 innings, and he gives it up a home run in this one to one Mr. Petey Hopin. Third home run of the campaign, Patrick Bailey off of Zach Agnos. Seventh home run of the campaign, Agnos. Four runs allowed in 2 1/3 innings. You did have Brett Sullivan, the backup catcher, give you a pair of out squirrels, and Mark Manfredi was able to give you a pair of out squirrels as well, but damage by then had very much been done. Being able to do some solid damage, he slammed Diego Padre 6-2. They take down the Minnesota Twins. Connor Prelip, six runs allowed in six innings as he was taken deep by Ty France, more like Win France, his 18th home run on the campaign. Travis Adams and Taylor Rogers both give you a squirrel setting, and Randy Vasquez, seven innings, he gives up two runs from their Bradley Rodriguez and Mason Miller, both able to turn a scoreless inning. For Seattle, it took 10 innings, but they do get a 6-5 win over the Chicago Cubs. We'll talk a little bit more Seattle in the next segment with our good friend Curtis Rogers. And Mr. Hancock gives up three runs in 5 2/3 innings, including a pair of bombs as Alex Bregman, 17th home run of the campaign. And then you had Pete Armstrong get his 32nd home run of the season. Ian Happ, he was on Apple's 21st home run of the season. That comes off of Edward Bizzardo, gives up a home run in his inning work. Gabe Spire, 1 1/3 inning squirrels. Andres Munoz does blow the save as Alex Bregman, his 18th home run of the season, ties the game in the 9th inning. But Sir Anthony Dominguez comes up big with a scoreless 10th inning. Matthew Boyd, not what he was looking for. 5 runs, 4 of which were earned in 6 innings, and was cranked deep by Cal Raleigh. Big dumper, who is taking a big dump this year. 14th home run of the season. Daniel Palencia, fresh off the injury list. Colin Ray, Jacob Webb, all ended scoreless inning. And then Ryan Zefrian gives up the unearned run in the 10th inning. A Leo Rivas RBI single ends this one for the LA Dodgers. They relinquish their lead against the Pirates, but they pull it out late. 5-4, they're able to win in 10 innings. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, 9 punch-outs, 2 runs allowed in 6 1/3 innings. Brock and Roll Stewart, a pair of outs out of the bullpen squirrels, and Bubba Chandler, 4 runs allowed in 4 innings. He was taken deep by Max Muncy, 26th home run of the campaign. Yoan Ramirez, Kirby Yates, Lake Bacher, along with Luke Weaver, throwing their Mason Montgomery as well. All had scoreless innings, and then Gregory Soto gives up the unearned run in the 10th. 10th inning as walking it off Tommy Edman with his RBI single. Meanwhile, for the Dodgers, you had Kyle Hurt, who really extended this game to extras, give up 2 runs in a third of an inning. O'Neill Cruz, second home run since coming off the injury list a few days ago, 16th home run season. Edgar Enriquez, though, 5 outs out of the bullpen, squirrels at Evan Phillips. Squirrels 10th inning. That was able to get this one to the window. Being able to get this one to the window, the Arizona Diamondbacks, how about 9-0 all over the Cincinnati Reds in this one. Eduardo Rodriguez, 5 2/3 inning, squirrels. Dennis Santana, newly acquired, 4 outs out of the bullpen, squirrels. And then you had Taylor Clark and Justin Martinez, both give you a squirrel saying, and Nick Lodolo, well, this was not on the low low. This was very high in terms of the amount of runs they gave up. A 6 spot in 3 1/3 innings. You take it deep by Jordan Lawler, second home run of the campaign. Julian Garcia, he was able to go 2 2/3 inning, squirrels. Pierce Johnson gives up a run in an inning. And then Sam Moll, he does give up 2 runs over the course of his inning of work. And if you're taking a look at what we're all getting trend-wise in Major League Baseball right now, it has been very much an underwhelming, very much stretch overall for the season. The under rate has officially reached over 51%, 962 unders, 924 overs, and if my math serves me correct, we have had, I believe now, something like 36 pushes along the way. Always hard to keep track of the pushes. Favorites on the money line, 56.4%, 1,061 and 819, but among those favorites, we have now seen a whopping 269 fail to cover the run line. Last 7 days in baseball, under rate 53%, 50 unders, 44 overs, and I believe 0 pushes along the way. Favorites on the money line, absolutely cleaning house, 62 and 31 on the money line, but 20 of those favorites failed to cover the run line. And if you look at over the last 30 days in Major League Baseball, 73 favorites that won outright, as you have the favorites at 226 and 166 on the money line. 73 failed to cover the run line, under rate 54.2%, 211 unders, 178 overs, and 10 pushes along the way. So that's where we're seeing in baseball right now, and that's where we're getting trend-wise. Coming next, let's chat it up with our good friend Curtis Rogers over there at 710 Seattle Sports. He does a great job with pre- and post-game hosting for the Seattle Mariners. He joins me on the flip side here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by this man, as we've got Curtis Rogers aboard. He does absolutely amazing work over at 710 Seattle Sports, taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of baseball as the Seattle Mariners radio side of things, pre- and post-game hosts. And he does a great job covering everything out there in the Pacific Northwest. He's keeping his eye on the 100 million billion court cases that we're seeing in college basketball, because that will greatly impact the Gonzaga Bulldogs. He's getting ready for some footballs. I know that he does some work with the Seattle Seahawks. Hey, the Seattle Kraken, sooner rather than later, they're going to be back on the ice as well. So, and he's a man that is a five-tool player over there at 710 Seattle Sports. And you're able to follow him on Instagram and Twitter/X at A Kid From Kent altogether. And Curtis, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Greg, always happy to hop on with you, talk some baseball, and especially now that we are in the season's final quarter. It's go time for everybody. You're seeing teams make a lot of moves in terms of calling guys up from the minors. You're seeing teams drop out of races or get hot in some instances. A lot of jockeying for playoff position right now. It is a lot of fun watching Major League Baseball every single day, just seeing the standings every single morning change. It's a lot of fun right now.
Oh, it certainly is. And Curtis, we've got ourselves a real treat first things first with Cade Anderson finally getting the call up for the Seattle Mariners. There have been many people calling for it. I'm not sure if you have at the local station or not, but what do you make out of this young gun who's going to be going out there on Saturday? Because I am very much looking forward to this, and I think that this is going to be absolutely fantastic.
Oh, yeah. We have definitely been clamoring for it as well. I mean, you look at just his insane numbers at the AA level. There was nothing left for him to prove. He had basically one bad start in AA, and it was really one bad inning that got away from him. Other than that, he's basically been untouchable at the AA level. We actually spoke to Mariners AA manager Rich Thompson earlier on Friday, and he basically was like, yeah, this guy's exceeded all of our expectations, which is crazy because he was a number 3 overall pick, probably would have gone number 1 overall if the Angels weren't scared off by his signability. He's Scott Boras' client. And then also, you know, he was an ace pitcher for LSU, won the national championship. It's really hard to exceed expectations when you're entering pro baseball the way that he has, but he absolutely has exceeded that. And I would say in terms of anticipation for a starting pitcher making his major league debut, here in Seattle, I think the only other guy that's comparable to this would have been Felix Hernandez all those years ago when he made his major league debut at just 19 years old. Now, Kane Anderson's a little bit older. He's 22. But, I mean, he's got precision control. He's not going to blow you away with velocity, but he's absolutely going to keep you off balance and just dominate in that way. We've talked to a lot of people over the course of the season just kind of talking about his ceiling. I know Jeff Passan has said that he could see Kane Anderson being, you know, a multiple-time All-Star, a guy who's, you know, in a Cy Young conversation relatively soon. He's not going to be, you know, a Paul Skeens or a Jacob Mizorowski in terms of velocity, but he's absolutely going to be a guy that I think within a couple of years, if everything goes well, he might ascend to the top of the Mariners rotation.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a good Mariners rotation, as you know, when you've got Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, Bryce Miller, all those guys. So that is superb. And just how are we looking at the Seattle Mariners right now? A team where it's been a little bit up and down, but they needed to get a few wins last weekend against the Astros. They were able to do so. And now they've got an absolutely critical series coming up against the Cubs. We are doing this prior to knowing how the game on Friday went. But I mean, for the Seattle Mariners, it feels like they're a cat with nine lives. And I feel like I could say that about every American League team, because every American League team keeps losing, but everyone around them keeps losing as well. So other than the Royals, sorry, the Athletics, sorry, the Angels, it feels like every other team is still in this race.
Absolutely. And you mentioned getting that series win against the Astros in that really tough road trip that they just finished up against the Yankees, against the Astros, against the Brewers. If you were going to prioritize one series over another in terms of importance, it was winning that Astros series. And guess what? The Mariners have not lost ground on Houston since the end of that series. Now, they haven't gained ground either, but they've not lost ground. And thankfully, the Angels blew the doors off the Astros the other night, 18-3 in Houston, which was a very stunning result. But the Mariners, having lost that series finale to the Brewers, waiting around for that Astros game to start, couldn't have played any better for them. I don't think you can write off the Mariners or the Rangers in that AL West race for sure, especially with the way Houston is yet to really plant their flag atop that division. And it's crazy to think, because you look at the Mariners, they have one of the worst records in baseball, really. I mean, they're, you know, kind of a
and they're still alive
team
in the wild card too.
Exactly. They're not that far behind in the third wild card spot either. So it just kind of really goes to show just how bad things are in the American League, that a team like the Mariners that has really been going through it here in the season second half, still very much alive. They have a pulse. Now, the tough series do continue with this series against the Cubs. They've got a series against the Phillies to start next week, and then they go out on the road to face the Blue Jays, who have been a big disappointment this year for sure. And then the Red Sox, who have been hotter than the sun here in the season second half. So it doesn't get much easier, but once the calendar flips to September, the Mariners, 17 of their final 22 games, Greg, are against the Angels, the A's, and the Rockies. That is cushy. That is exactly what you want to have coming down the stretch. Give yourself a chance. Get to that stretch of games near the end of the season, and maybe, just maybe, they can kind of pull off something, at least in their own division, because I don't trust anyone in the AL West. I would say the teams in the wild card chase, I trust a little bit more than the West, but yeah, this AL West has been more like the AL worst this season.
And Curtis, I know that you're not the biggest bettor in the world taking a look at like baseball futures and everything like that, but what you just gave the people is the biggest nugget that you might be wanting to look at right now. 17 on the last 22 games against the Angels, the Rockies, and the Athletics. That is huge. That is absolutely huge. As joining me on the show, we've got Curtis Rogers doing absolutely amazing work over at 710 Seattle Sports, and I have no question about it. That is massive to look at, to say the least. And how much might we see the Seattle Mariners actually give us something on offense, because the pitching has been fine. The bullpen, as you know, has dealt with some injuries with Matt Brash, Cooper Criswell, but I mean, Andres Munoz, aside from that one game against the Astros over the last 60 or so days, has been fine. The concern has been the offense, but how much could that spark plug be Brandon Donovan returning to the fold for this team?
That's exactly who I was going to point to, Greg, when you asked that question, because he has been what the Mariners had hoped he would be since coming off the IL. He's been an on-base machine. He's been getting extra base hits. He's been a force atop the lineup. That's what the Mariners had hoped they were going to get for a full 162 with Brendan Donovan. Unfortunately, the growing issue has plagued him during the season, But right now, you've got a healthy version of him. Sans beard, his numbers have rocketed. It's kind of weird seeing him without a beard. I always have to remind myself, oh, yeah, that's Brendan Donovan up there, not just some random guy they called up. But yeah, he's been a very big difference maker. Obviously, people look at that 22-0 loss to your Brewers there this last week, and everybody's focus goes to that, rightfully so. That is a jarring final score. But outside of that game, the Mariners offense has actually been doing pretty well. In that Astros series, they banged out 35 hits over three games. They were able to kind of claw their way back in the series finale against the Brewers. Unfortunately, just did not have enough offense to come all the way back from that horrible first inning that George Kirby had. Got seven runs in the second game of that series. I look at Donovan. He's going to be very important. But I also look at Taylor Ward as somebody that I think if he can get on base at a clip similar to what he did in Baltimore. Now, he's dealt with some injuries, too, as of late. But I think that would be a huge thing for this Mariners offense. Just getting more traffic, you know, loading up the bases, because you have so many guys loading up the bases, you're going to run out of room. Somebody's got to score. So I think Ward picked up a couple of walks in that series finale. He did pick up an RBI in that Brewers series. I think he's going to be of the utmost importance as well to get going, because honestly, I don't think Cal Raleigh is going to be able to dig himself out and go on any kind of heater right now. I think that season is pretty much lost for him. Elsewhere in that lineup, you could potentially be getting J.P. Crawford back, but his numbers have taken a big dip this season. Brock Rodden is an interesting name. He got called up last week and has had a six-game hitting streak to start his big league career. He's playing shortstop right now just because they don't have anybody else healthy. Cole Emerson hit the IL. J.P. Crawford's on the IL. They don't got anybody else, so maybe that's another name to watch as well. But I think Brendan Donovan and Taylor Ward, those are going to be two big names for the Mariners here over the season's final month and a half.
Yep, I think that they are going to be massive for them moving forward as well. And it is just such a wild landscape out there in the American League, and we have very much focused on the Seattle Mariners. And is there another team or two that you look at in the American League that you might be feeling a little bit good about? I say a little bit because, man, it's hard to feel great about any of these teams right now in the American League. But is there another team there? Might be a little bit of hope. There might be a little bit of a glimmer.
Yeah, I think the Detroit Tigers are a team, Greg, that even though they spent their entire trade deadline selling off asset after asset after asset, you can't really count them out. I know that they got off to such a horrible start and they were very much left for dead, but I look at that run differential. It's a very interesting one. And then also the team atop the AL Central too right now, the White Sox, they've started to get in motion a little bit more as well. They're 3.5 up on the Twins as of Friday. Somebody from that Central, I think, is going to surprise. I'm not fully convinced that the Rays are World Series caliber in the AL, despite having the best record. Now, you know, I could be eating my words come October as the Rays, you know, bulldoze their way to an AL crown, but something about that team just does not strike me as a World Series contender. Now, the Yankees, if they get Aaron Judge back, that's going to be a huge, huge difference for them because obviously he's Aaron Judge. He's the best hitter on the planet when he is healthy. We just haven't seen him since, what, like May? It's been a long time since we've seen him in that Yankee lineup. But I think if you're looking for a team in the American League that might be sort of out of nowhere, then that American League Central might be it. And I look at the White Sox. They've been atop that division for the longest of anybody this year. I don't think the Twins are going to be able to have the firepower to overtake anybody. The Guardians keep slip sliding away. For me, I think it's going to come down to the White Sox and Tigers. Even though the Tigers are behind the Twins and Guardians right now, they've just been playing better than a lot of people in that division. I don't think anybody from the West right now has it. We talked to Mike Petriello this week of MLB.com, who's a great, you know, follow if you're big into sabermetrics and analytics and just all kinds of stats that tell you the story of the game. If the AL West holds like this, everybody has a negative run differential. That will be the first time in Major League Baseball history that an entire division has a negative run differential with every team over the course of 162. So history on the line in the AL West this year.
Yep, and I mean, you take a look at the bottom teams out there in the West as well. Like, for the Athletics, you would think that just having so many games against the Athletics for one of these teams would just weasel their way up. And it's not even like, it's like, oh, we're on the borderline here where these teams are like five or something like that. Going into Friday, Astros, Rangers, Mariners, all identical negative 46 run differentials. Just absolutely wild what we are seeing out here, to say the least. And Curtis, It's wild. It's crazy. And you're doing a great job in terms of piecemealing it all together. You're doing an incredible job over at 710 Seattle Sports with so many different fronts. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff on our social media pages at Seattle Sports on YouTube and seattlesports.com. We had a conversation on Friday with Baseball America's J.J. Cooper. I also mentioned the conversation with Arkansas Travelers manager Rich Thompson, who has been in the dugout for every single Cade Anderson start, gave a lot of great insight there as well. Yeah, lots and lots of content to consume on our social media pages. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, at a kid from Kent. Greg, always, always, always happy to hop on with you, talk some baseball. Season is just getting hot right now here in the month of August and September. Look forward to our next conversation as this playoff picture starts to take focus.
Yep, it is starting to crystallize aside from in the American League, where it's about as clear as total mud. So we are in for a lot of fun there, and Curtis is going to have a front row seat to it. And even though the Mariners are well below 500 right now, they still might be playing some baseball in October. So we've got a lot that's happening there. And Curtis, every single time he joins me, he lends such great insight. So big thanks to Curtis for joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis of every game on the betting board for this baseball Saturday as we cut them off.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It's always a pleasure to be joined by Curtis Rogers, who's doing such amazing work over at 710 Seattle Sports. He is the pre- and post-game host for them on the radio side, does a great job with everything out there in the Pacific Northwest, and every single time he joins me, he lends such great insight. So big thanks to Curtis for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Saturday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter/X feed at GUnit_D1. We're going to be going in Las Vegas Station Order. This is where we go to National Games first in time order, then the American League games in time order. Any interleague games, those are going to be at the bottom. That'll keep things all nice, neat, clean, and easy. Let's get her started with 951, 952 on the card. It is the Braves. They are going to be on the road against the Milwaukee Brewers. Logan Anderson goes for the crew. Martin Perez is on the bump for the Braves. Braves plus 139 to plus 147 underdogs. Meanwhile, minus 157 to minus 166. That is your number on the Brewers. 7.5 to 8 is the total. Mostly seeing 8 with an under of minus 115. Over is minus 105. On the 7.5, over is minus 120. And the under is even. And I'm going to be in on the under of 8. I did set my total at a 7.8. Now, with Martin Perez, he is doing for some regression. 3.15 ERA. The fielding depends more around about a 4.15 with only 6.7 strikeouts, 3.6 walks per 9 innings, but he keeps the ball in the yard, giving up less than 1 home run per 9 innings. And it is a Milwaukee Brewers team that, despite being a top 5 team in terms of run creation between about 4.9 to 5 runs per game this season, they are last in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis. Now, do be mindful for Perez, 4.59 road ERA compared to a 2.02 ERA at home, so that is a little bit concerning. But for Logan Anderson, he has been really good for this Brewers team. 10.7 strikeouts, a 1.7 to walks per 9 innings, 2.70 ERA. Does have a little bit of a home run issue. He's been giving up about 1.4 home runs per 9 innings, but still has been rock solid in terms of going out there, holding down the 2.42 ERA when he's at home. And for this Braves team, they seem to be going through a few trials and tribulations with their offense. They've still scored 4-plus runs in 13 out of their last 21 games, but certainly has been a little bit wobbly, to say the least. But you do have Ronald Acuña Jr. back. He had a 0-for game in the game that we saw on Friday, but he'll be able to pick it up sooner rather than later. And then you have got the likes of Michael Harris, Drake Baldwin, Ozzy, Albies, who have all given you between 20 to 21 home runs. Baldwin about a 350 on base. Harris is able to hit about a 295. And then the guys like Tom Smith, Mauricio Dubon, move the line, hitting about a 260, though bottom full with Mike Yastrzemski and company, not necessarily been great. Flip side for the Brewers, you do have guys that just find a way on. Andrew Vaughn is hitting a 300. Jake Bauer is your main home run hitter with over 20 bombs, 380 on base. Jackson Chourio, along with Bryce Terang, 15-plus home runs. So love what these guys have been able to do. They're getting back Cooper Pratt, as well as been able to give you about a 340 on base. Even Gary Sanchez up to a 360 on base. And these are the top two bullpens in terms of ERA in the National League as well. For the Brewers, Trevor McGill has been just lights out since the beginning of the month of June. Sub-2 ERA in that time span. They did use up Antonio Sensatella yesterday, but Aaron Ashby, he's been able to give you a sub-350 ERA. DL Turner to Paul is a relatively good long guy as well. Same for Chad Patrick. And on the other end for the Atlanta Braves, Dylan Dodd have been both very rock solid. They're still dealing with the injury to Robert Suarez, but even Victor Medeiros has been able to give you some relatively solid innings. DDA Fuentes, he's been able to give you sub-325 ERA along with Raisio Iglesias. So like the under of 8, sub-8 some point 8. And for the Brewers, willing to lay up to a -157 on the money line. Ironically enough, set at a -158. 953, 954 on the card. The Nationals are going to be on the road facing off against the Marlins as Eury Pérez is on the bump for the Fish. And you've got Jake Irvin, who's going to be going for the Washington Nationals. -177 to -188 is that number on Miami, between +153 to a +162 for Washington. 7.5 to 8 is the total on the 7.5. Over is -120 and the under is even on the 8. Under is -120 and the over is even with the Marlins on the run line. You're getting them between +120 and +125. I was willing to take anything of a +110 or greater, so I'm going to be in on this run line for Eury Pérez. He has been able to do a really lights out job for this bunch. Overall for the season, 3.23 ERA, 3.69 fielding dependent. I really don't think that speaks to how well he's been able to pitch here recently, because he had a little bit of a shaky start to the season. And then you take a look at him really since, we're going to call him May 22nd, because that's when he was starting to have that no-hit game against the Toronto Blue Jays, what have you. In his last 12 starts, the team is only 6-6, but a 1.66 ERA with 3 home runs allowed in 78 at third innings. And for his career, he's been significantly better when he has been at home rather than away from him. This is not just a one-year split, but this is a full career split for Eury Pérez. 2.62 home ERA, 4.34 ERA away from home. At home, gives up only about 0.8 home runs per 9 innings, and Jake Irvin just continues to not be great, to say the least. Now, the fielding independent is a bit lower than the 5.80 ERA, but he has still been giving up 1.5 home runs, 3.9 walks per 9 innings. So it's credited a little bit over 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, but even if you get an okay start out of Jake Irvin, this is a Washington Nationals bullpen that is second worst in the National League in terms of bullpen ERA. They and the Colorado Rockies are neck and neck there. You've had some of these just mix and match guys that, well, they have not been doing a good job in terms of mixing or matching, like Gus Varland has not been good in this bullpen. They've gotten some okay innings out of Orlando Ribalta, getting back Brad Lord as the opener yesterday. That helps you out a little bit, but I still don't have a lot of faith in someone like a Tom Cosgrove, even though his ERA is currently a sub-4. Max Kranick has been awful for this bullpen. Jake Bird, he's pretty washed along Trevor Williams. And for the Nationals, even though they are dealing with a lot of injury, having James Wood out of the fold has been hurting them. This is still a unit that overall for the season, they are numero uno in terms of run creation. Obviously, it's been CJ Abrams carrying the mail for them recently. Now, he is dealing with a little bit of an injury, and that does need to be factored in here, but you've had Andres Chaparro now give you about a 355 on base. Kibe Ruiz, not a lot of walks, but he's able to hit a 280. Nassim Nunez has give you a 40-plus home bases. Jacob Young, Dallin Lyle, or give you a double-figure amount of homers. And for the Miami Marlins, it's a lot of small ball for the team. Got Esteri Ruiz, Jacob Marcy, Xavier Edwards, all being able to give you at least 18 stolen bases. Throwing their Otto Lopez with 18-plus swipes. He's been able to give you over a 300 average. Not a lot of power. Alberto Hernandez, 18 home runs, only about a 230 for the team. Griffin Conine, though, he's been impressing me. Over a 350 on base, and while he's only got 14 home runs this season, he's done it in about 175 at-bats. Do think that that'll be effective for the Marlins, and keep in mind, for the Marlins, even though they might get a great start here out of Eury Pérez, since July 1st, their bullpen ERA is right around about a 5.27. Calvin Fauché, Pete Fairbanks, well above a 4 ERA. You got Josh Eknis, John King, who've been relatively solid, but King has now seen his ERA go above a 350. Eknis, in a small sample size, has been holding down the fort. Michael Peterson is solid, and I do think that you're going to get a far better start out of Eury Pérez here. So, want to lay the run line of the Miami Marlins that did semi total at 8.3, so I'm also going to be in on the over. 9.55, 9.56 on the card. It is the Cardinals. They are going to be on the road against the Philadelphia Phillies. As Andrew Painter goes for the Phils and Quinn Matthews for the Cardinals. 8.5 is the total. Over is -110 to a -120. Under is between even a -110. And with the Phillies, you're going to be getting them between -125 to a -136, +110 to a +116. That is your number on the Cardinals. And I'm going to be willing to roll with Quinn Matthews here. I did set the Cardinals at a +113. Now, for Matthews, it's been a very small sample size for him. He's only made 2 starts, 9 innings, and he has given up 6 walks in those 2 starts, but he's also only allowed 3 runs thus far. Again, you want to be taking a little bit more of a look at the minor league numbers, because I don't think that you want a 9-inning sample size to be an end-all be-all, whether that be for a starting pitcher or a reliever. But you look at what he did at AAA Memphis this year, certainly did have his walks issues with about 5.5 walks per 9 innings, but good 11 strikeout per 9 innings stuff, 3.27 ERA. And then flip side, Andrew Painter has been a little bit improved recently, giving up 2 earned runs or fewer in 3 out of his last 4 starts, but he's coming off of giving up a 5 spot his last time out, 6.43 ERA, 1.8 home runs, 3.6 walks per 9 innings. So Phillies have been significantly better with their offense when they've been at home rather than away from home. They average about 4.9 runs per game when they're at home, away from home. They're actually second worst in the National League in terms of run creation, with about 4.1 runs per contest, and they really revamped themselves at the trade deadline. No doubt about it, Luis Urias has been able to pick it up a little bit. That did cause the defense to be a little bit more herky-jerky, but hits above 300 and it's hitting cleanup, even though he hits no home runs whatsoever. Well, Kyle Schwarber, your guy with 37 home runs, hits leadoff. That's baseball in 2026, but Bryce Harper, 25-plus bombs, giving you about a 380 on base. You've gotten more of Trey Turner down for what? He and Alec Boehm are now hitting above a 240, and for Turner, 15-plus home runs. JT Realmuto continues to be a disappointment, but even Justin Crawford out there in the outfield has been solid. And for this Cardinals bunch, they're actually last in the National League in terms of scoring runs when they're at home. Away from home, they have been fourth in the league, as they're generating about 5.1 runs per game away from home. Jordan Walker has been able to continue to give you 24-plus home runs, hitting about a 290. J.J. Weatherholt, Yvonne Herrera, not necessarily the world's greatest averages, but over a 345 on base. For Weatherholt, 16-plus home runs. And you had Mr. Baez go deep once again yesterday. He's got 4 home runs in a week for the team, and Joshua Baez, now also hitting below the Bidell sign of 200, but hey, he's been able to give you a little bit of power there. Additionally, you've been able to get some nice production out of Alec Burleson as well, and you've got a pair of bullpens that are a little bit shaky for the Philadelphia Phillies. Since June 1st, they've been in the bottom 10 in terms of bullpen ERA. Yoan Duran has been solid, but Ryan Kirkring has seen his ERA go above a 350. Jonathan Bolin has been nice, and I did like the pickup of Brooks Raley, but I mean, Jose Alvarado just continues to be awful for the team, and Caleb Killian is now on the injury list. And flip side, for the Cardinals, you've had a lot of issues with this bullpen as well. Caleb Ferguson about a 4 ERA, Ryan Sanic well above a 4 ERA, Riley O'Brien, Goran Gusefo, they've been able to give you sub 350 ERAs, but George Soriano starting to act up for the team as well, so I do think that you're going to get a plentiful amount of runs in this one. Made my money line price a plus 113, so in on the Cardinals here. I like the over. Somebody told it at 9.4, 957, 958 on the card. It is the Reds. Yes, we're on a Cincinnati. They're under the road facing off against the Diamondbacks, as Michael Soroka is on the bump for the Diamondbacks, and Rhett Lauder hopes to make some noise here for the Reds. And Reds, no shock there. An underdog here between plus 135 to a plus 143. Minus 153 to minus 172. That number on Arizona. Mostly seeing a total of 8. The under is minus 115. The over is minus 105. And I do like the over. I did somebody tell it at 8.7. Now for the Diamondbacks, they are obviously dealing with the Ketel Marte situation. I don't know if he ever plays for them again. Like, there's just no telling what happens there. Nolan Arenado has been dealing with a little bit of injury, but should be able to give it a go here. He was back in the lineup yesterday. He and Corbin Carroll combined 38 home runs this season, both hitting in the neighborhood about a 245, but you still have quite a few guys that move the line, as you're now getting back someone like Jordan Lawler, sitting at 250. Jose Fernandez, not a power hitter, but guy that hits about a 260. Additionally, you've been able to get good production on Villarmo Vargas all season long. Ryan Waldschmidt hitting about a 280 towards the bottom of the fold. Need more of some of these guys like Tim Tewa, Ore Pelosa and company, but I mean, that's been solved for them. And for the Cincinnati Reds, even though this is a unit that is in the bottom 10 of the big leagues in terms of run creation, 3 different guys, J.J. Bleede, Ellie De La Cruz, Cousin Sal Stewart, who have all been able to give you at least 20 home runs this season, and then you've got Eugenio Suarez up to 18 home runs. Now for Suarez, he's not getting on base, and that's really the issue for this Reds team, as Suarez hits about a 200, but Michael Duglia is hitting less than a 150, Cabrian Hayes is hitting just above a 150, Bleede, 219 average, up the on-base percentage more around about a 325 to a 350, Matt McClain is hitting a 200, TJ Friedel, you go down the list. That's been rough, but what also has been rough is the Reds being 25th in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Brock and Rolberg, TJ Antone are giving you a sub 350 ERA. They're getting Tony Santian off the injury list, but he's got an ERA above a 5. Sam Moll's not been great this year. Pierce Johnson, Emilio Pagan, lots of issues there. And for the Arizona Diamondbacks, Paul Sewald has really been the, shall we say, albatross of this bullpen this season. They're now without Ryan Thompson, who's been having some issues, but hey, you have to like what you're getting out of these guys like Taylor Clark, Braden Garcia, Jonathan LaWise, Isaka, throwing their Juan Murillo. These are all guys who have been able to give you a sub 325. Here, even Kevin Ginkle's not bad, a little bit above a 350. Here I am for Michael Soroka. He's been very rock solid this year, getting about 8.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, so about 2.1 to 2.2 walks per 9 innings, 293 ERA. But do be mindful that this is just his third start since coming off the injury list, so you have to have a little bit of trepidation there. He's given up 4 walks over the course of 10 innings since coming off the IL, so I think that that'll help out scoring a little bit. And for Brett Lauder, not a guy that's going to be going out there and getting a lot of strikeouts. He's got an ERA that's in that neighborhood about a 517, and he's given up 1.2 home runs, 3.7 walks per 9 innings, only getting 7.3 punch-outs per 9. So in on the over, so if I tell it at 8.7 for the Diamondbacks. Going to play it safe, going to take the money line, set this at a -162. 959, 960 on the card. The Pirates walk the plank to Los Angeles to face off against the Dodgers. Drake Scubel goes for the Dodgers, and Jared Jones for the Buccos. And the Pirates, shock, shock, surprise, surprise, they're a massive underdog here. Anywhere between +210 to as high as +225, -250 to -260. The under on Los Angeles, 7.5 is the total. The over is -115. The under is -105. And run line price here of the Dodgers is a -110. Willing to go up to a -114. So I don't want to be going much further, but I'm going to be in on them. I do think that Jared Jones has quite a bit of upside, and he's got some nice swing and miss stuff, but he's really been going through it a little bit recently. Was able to have a nice little bit of a bounce back start against the Boston Red Sox, but he's now given up 3+ runs in 3 out of his last 4 starts. Overall for the season, 10.1 strikeouts per 9 innings, but 1.5 home runs, 3 walks per 9 innings, so that's very off-putting. While he does have a 4.78 ERA, does have a 4.15 fielding dependence, so might be doing for a little bit of positivity there. But for him, I do think that he's also hurt by a bullpen that has not been great. I mean, it's so bad that they had to DFA the likes of Dennis Santana and company, a lot of the guys that they had earlier in the season. Evan Sisk is a guy that's coming off the injury list. He's been able to give you a sub-3 ERA, and I love the pickup of Luke Weaver. He does fortify this bullpen a little bit more, but still, Gregory Soto's not as a guy that I have a lot of faith in. You've had Yoan Ramirez be pretty solid throughout the season, but I know that he's been going through some personal things as well. Mason Montgomery is a little bit of an up-and-down reliever, so do have to have some issues there. And for the Pirates, this is a unit that has been a top-8 team in terms of run creation. Brandon Lau has gone loud, 27 home runs. He's hitting for about a 255, and then just so many guys that find a way to move a line in general. Jake Magnum, along Nick Gonzalez, both hitting above a 290. Brian Reynolds, Spencer Horowitz, above a 350 on base. They are dealing with the injury to Ryan O'Hearn, but he's still been able to get some good production when he's been out there. And O'Neill Cruz, and now him coming back, he's already got a home run to his credit since coming off the injury list as big. Esmeralda and Valdez, 14 home runs and less than 200 bats. He's giving you a 355 on base. And interestingly for the Dodgers, they actually average nearly a full run per game less when they're at home rather than away from home. But you still have Shohei Ohtani, who's been incredible, giving you 30+ home runs, about a 385-ish on base. And then the likes of a Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, 15 to 16 home runs apiece. Betts has been better since the beginning of the month of June. Really rough start to the season and still needs to give you a little bit more. But so have Andy Paz give you a 21 bombs, hitting about a 270 max. Muncy, 25 home runs. He does a good job in terms of moving the line. Tommy Edman finding a way on base. And with this Dodgers bullpen, they're about league average in terms of ERA themselves. You're dealing with a lot of injuries with Blake Treinen, Will Klein, Edwin Diaz all being on the injury list. Without Edwin Diaz, I actually think that that might be a positive. Rock and Roll Stewart, though, they're getting him off the injury list. He and Tanner Scott have been able to give you a sub-250 ERA. I like Alex Vesia, Jack Dreyer, and for our good friend Tarik Skubal, hasn't necessarily been as sharp as since getting on over there to Los Angeles. Still overall for the season, a strikeout-to-walk ratio that's well above a 7. He's still overall for the season been able to give you a rock-solid 285 ERA with just a hair over a 1 home run per 9 innings, but does have a 318 ERA in a Dodgers uniform. Has been giving up a few home runs, so something that needs to be factored in there, and that's a big reason why I like the over. Semi-total is 7.7, but do think that the Dodgers get to Jones in that bullpen. I'm willing to lay up to a -114 on that Dodgers run line to go along with the over. 961, 962 on the card. The Blue Jays are going to be on the road against the New York Yankees as Dylan Cease goes for the Jays, and Ryan Weathers looks so. Weathers the storm for the Yankees. Yankees do find themselves as a favorite here between -116 to -122, between -102 to as high as a +110. It's that number on the Blue Jays. 6.5 to 7 is the total. On the 6.5, over is -120. The under is even. On the 7, the under is -115 to -120. Over is between even and -105. And I'm going to be in on the Blue Jays here. I did set them on the money line at a -102, so pretty much anything of even money or better. I was willing to take a shot there for Dylan Cease. He has just been absolutely remarkable thus far this season. He's mowing them down with 13.1 strikeouts per 9 innings, a 2.42 ERA, a fielding independent that is even lower than that. And for Dylan Cease, what else really stands out to me, he's actually been a better pitcher when he has been away from home rather than at home. So he's got some positive splits there. there. When he's been away from home, the ERA does go below a 2. As a matter of fact, 171 with 0.4 home runs per 9 innings allowed. And for Ryan Weathers, his ERA overall 356 with about 1.2 home runs per 9 innings allowed. ERA sub 315 away from home, 393 at home, and 1 home run allowed per 9 innings when he's away from home, closer to 1.4 home runs per 9 innings when he's in Yankee Stadium. For the Blue Jays, it's still a bottom 6 team in terms of run creation. They have only one guy on the roster in Kazuma Okamoto, who entered in this series with more than 12 home runs this season, so they need to work on that. But don't call his name, Alejandro Kirk has been able to give you some nice production as he's been able to hit about a 280, but then you've also had Charles McAdoo be able to do a nice job moving the line for this team. The man that they picked up, I believe, from the Cubs, Brett Bateman, he's been able to do a solid job being able to put bat to ball. You're just not getting a lot of power out of these guys, but they are doing a relatively solid job playing small ball, and they're one of the best teams in terms of not striking out in all baseball. And for the New York Yankees, last 46 games, they're averaging about 3.45 runs per game. Now, they've been able to get a little bit of a boost from bringing in Luis Garcia, 20-plus home runs. He's been able to about a 270, and George Lombard, young guy over there at the shortstop spot, he and Ben Rice are about a 340 to a 345 on base apiece, and Rice has been able to give you 30-plus home runs, but he's cooled down a little bit. Trent Grisham has had his issues. Spencer Jones does go deep yesterday, but he's been up and down. Paul Goldschmidt has been miserable here in the second half of the season. The catcher spot is rough, but for the Yankees, you know that the bullpen is going to be there. They have been a top-two team in terms of bullpen ERA, as you've got so many of these guys like Brent Hedrick, Paul Blackburn, Fernando Cruz, David Benar, Yuri De Los Santos, who have all been able to give you a sub-325 ERA. And for the Blue Jays, it's a little bit more top-heavy with the bullpen, but you've had Louis Varland along with the Rodgers give you a sub-225 ERA. Mason Fluharty, the opener from yesterday, he's been in the most appearances in all of baseball. Brandon Little has become very, very little for this team, but hey, Spencer Miles, he's posting up about a 3 ERA. I do think that Dylan Cease gives you the better start here. Even money or better in on the Blue Jays money line, and the Blue Jays offense looked much better in that series against the Rays. I think that they get to Weathers here a little bit, even though for Ryan Weathers has been significantly better as of late, as he's given up 300 runs or fewer in 5 out of his last 6 starts, but I'm still going to be willing to take the over. Somebody told somebody one. I do like the Blue Jays here on the money line. 963, 964 on the card. The Rays are going to be on the road against the Orioles as Brandon Young goes for the Orioles. Sugar Shane McClanahan goes for the Orioles. Orioles are minus 124 to minus 131 between plus 106 to plus 115 is that number on the O's. 7.5 to 8 is the total on the 7.5 over is minus 120. The under is even on the 8 over and under both at minus 120. 10. I do like the over. I did somebody tell that at 8.4 for Brandon Young. I do think that he's doing for some regression. The ERA has been very rock solid for him all season long, as right now he is applying one that is in that neighborhood of about a 352 with a 422 fielding dependent, but 7.3 strikeouts, 3.2 walks per 9 innings. That is a little bit off-putting, and Shane McClanahan overall for the season, 325 ERA. Strikeout stuff has been down to about 8.3 strikeouts per 9 innings, but still only about 0.7 home runs allowed per 9 innings. But in his last 2 starts, he has won 3 in a third innings or fewer in both of them. He came off the injury list, gave up 3 runs in 3 and a third innings to this very Orioles team about a week or so ago. And for the Orioles, they've been a better offense when they've been at home rather than away from home. Would like to see more of these guys move the line a little bit more, as you do have the guys like Kobe Mayo, Colton Cowser, Tyler O'Neill, so many guys in a 225 or lower. Heck, you can throw in their Gunnar Anderson, though he does have 18-plus home runs this season, and to the credit of Mayo, 16-plus bombs as well. But Jackson Holliday's been able to give you a 330 on base. Pete Alonso's over 25 bombs with about a 360 on base. And then for the Rays, you've got your main trio in Yandy Diaz, Junior Caminero, and Jonathan Aranda. For Diaz, he's up to 19 bombs, 375 on base. For Aranda, about a 365 on base along Caminero. Caminero, obviously over 30 home runs, but you pick up Liam Mix at the trade deadline, give you over a 360 on base, 15-plus home runs. Then you've got these mix and match guys like Chandler Simpson, over 30 stolen bases, hitting above a 300. You've been able to have Johnny DeLuca be able to move line. And both of these teams have been top 10 teams in terms of bullpen area since June 1st. For the Rays, it's a lot of former Orioles out there in the bullpen. They did have Cole Sulzer, but I believe that he got hurt. But you got Brian Baker, who's been able to give you a sub-275 ERA. Kevin Kelly, Cam Boozer have been rock solid. Tyler Wells is out there as well, but he has regressed. He and Garrett Clevenger are both rocking now above a 350 ERA, so they've been looking to a few mix-and-match guys, especially now with Griffin Jacks currently on the injury list. Steven Matz has been in just a wide variety of different roles, and for the Baltimore Orioles, you've been able to see Andrew Kittredge really be able to rise up. His ERA is like a 4 for the season, but considering where it was, he has been significantly better for this team. Hard to have faith in someone like an Anthony Nunez, but Josh Walker, sub-350 ERA, Yunir Cano, Uncle Rico Garcia, been able to give you a sub-350 ERA as well. So, interesting circumstance. I do think that you're going to be able to get some scoring in this game. So, I told that at 8.4, like the over, and for the Orioles, plus 110 or better in on that money line. 965, 966 on the card. It is the Rangers, and they're going to be playing us to the Angels. We do know that for for the Angels, it is going to be Ryan Johnson getting another start. Not quite sure why. And then for the Rangers, probably should be Cody Bradford. Game is off the board because we don't know if it's going to be Bradford or not. But for the Rangers, I set them on the money line at a minus 197. Pretty much even money or better, I'd be looking at the run line. And they made a total of an 8.7. So 8.5 or less in on the over, 9 or higher to the under. I'd pretty much need plus $2 or higher to be taking a shot here on the Angels. And Ryan Johnson has actually been a little bit improved. I need to give some credit where it is due. But even with him being a little bit improved, he's still been one of the worst pitchers in all of baseball thus far this season, as he's got a nice grody 6.41 ERA with a fielding independent of a 6.57, 2.4 home runs, 4.3 walks per 9 innings, while getting only 7 strikeouts per 9 innings. To his credit, he's only allowed 4 earned runs in his last 3 starts, but he also faced off against the Royals, the Texas Rangers, and the Baltimore Orioles. Again, Rangers, I do think that they're going to be able to rise up a little bit with their offense. They've been a bottom 10 team in terms of run creation thus far this season, but you do have Corey Seager now getting off the injury list and starting to look a little bit more like the Corey Seager that we all know and love. Additionally, Jock Peterson has been able to give you 20-plus home runs. Has been out of the lineup the last few days. Probably going to be out of the fold once again here, but Wyatt Langford is a guy that moves the line. And then the likes of Ezekiel Duran, Dokal Zame, Alejandro Azuna, Brandon Nimmo. These are all guys that have been able to do a nice job hitting above a 255 for the season. Even Justin Foskey has been able to hit about a 265. And then for the Angels, they actually average more than a full run per game more when they're away from home rather than at home. At home, they are dead last in the big leagues with about 3.6 runs per game, closer to like 4.8 runs per game away from them prior to that outburst that they had against the Astros. They were actually like 3 runs per game post All-Star break. So now they're getting back to 4, thanks to putting up an 18th spot there on Thursday. But you still have a lot of struggling bats for this team. Josh Lowe, Travis d'Arnaud, Oswaldo Peraza, Moises Baez, Cerro, all hitting at 230 or lower with really no power whatsoever. Jose Siri has been solid, hitting about a 255 along with Vaughn Grisham. And then you've obviously got Zach Neto, Mike Trout, 20-plus home runs apiece. And for Trout, 382 on base, but only about a 239 average. Neto has not necessarily moved the line. And for the Angels, you do have to have some concerns with this bullpen, as now you've got Sam Bachman along Sammy Natera on the injury list. Those are two guys that supplied a sub-350 ERA. Getting back Ben Joyce is helpful. Taylor Cicado has been able to give you some okay innings, along with Blake Wyman. Jose Fermin has been solid as well. And then for this Rangers bullpen, they have been one that has been up and down in the stable east. You've got the Jacobs, Jacob Junis, Jacob Lass, Tyler Alexander, who have all been able to supply an ERA that is below a 350, but out of the 30 teams of the big league since July 1st, they are currently 29th in terms of ERA since July 1st at a 541, so that's been an issue because he's mixed and matched guys like Robbie Elstrom, Cole Wynn and company, posting up well above a 4 ERA. And for Cody Bradford, he missed all of last season due to injury. He's come off the injury list, and he's been effective. He's not getting a lot of swings and misses, 10 punch outs in 15 and a third innings, but has only given up one home run. Now again, he is face off against the Athletics, the Angels, and the Giants. So not great offenses there to say the least, but I think they yield down the fort, 8.5 or less, looking at the over 9 or higher to the under. And for the Rangers, pretty much even money or better in on that run line, set it at a minus 104 and would need at least plus 198 to take a shot here on the Angels. 967, 968 on the card. The Astros are going to be playing against the Athletics as Jacob Lopez goes for the Athletics. Hunter Brown for the Astros. The Astros are some of the biggest favorites that you're going to be finding on the betting board today. Right now, they are between minus 245 to a minus 255. Seeing a stray minus 219 out there between plus 199 to a plus 210. That number on the Athletics 8 is a total of the over and the under, both at minus 110. And if you do want to lay a run half here with the Astros, that's between minus 105 to a minus 110. And I most definitely do. I'm willing to go up to minus 118 here for Jacob Lopez. Last season, he was getting over 10.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He still obviously had a walks issue, and he was actually significantly better at home rather than away from home. And he's like the only player for the Sacramento A's that was able to do so this season. Down to about 8.3 strikeouts per 9 innings, giving up 4.7 walks, 1.5 home runs per 9 innings, 5.22 ERA, a 5.13 fielding independent. So it's been all sorts of rough there. And then with regards to home and road splits, he's actually been a little bit better away from home with a 4.95 ERA, but still, even away from home, he's giving up about 1.45 home runs per 9 innings. Meanwhile, with Hunter Brown, he's had his walks issues as well. He's right now giving up about 5.2 walks per 9 innings, 3.67 ERA, 4.62 fielding independent, but he's going to benefit from facing up against an Athletics team that's without Tyler Soderstrom, Nick Kurtz, and Shea Langeliers. That's your top 3 home run hitters. And for the Athletics, they still do have a few guys that move the line, get on base. Like, you've been able to have Henry Bolte. And then they neighbored about a 270. Jeff McNeil, Zach Aloff, Carlos Cortez, even White, the young first baseman, in between about a 255 to a 270. But there's just not a lot of pop outside of Galoff, who entered in the series with 14 home runs. Meanwhile, for the Houston Astros, Aryordan Alvarez, 35 plus bombs, a 430 on base, has been incredible. They've been dealing with the injury to Jeremy Pena. That does impact the offense, and I'm just not really a stan of Yuri Diaz. Recognize that his batting average is right around a 255, but less than a 290 on base. And then you've got the mix and match outfielders like Lamont Wade Jr., Zach Cole, Zach DiCenzo, the currently injured Bryce Matthews, and Troy Lupofito is also injured. Cam Smith, go down the list of guys in a 230 or lower. Even Dalton Varsho is in that fold as well. And other than Smith, you're getting no power whatsoever out of these guys. But Isak Paredes, 355 on base, he's been able to fly some boom. Christian Walker, not in terms of average, but he's over 23 home runs. And for the Astros, this has been a pretty exceptional bullpen. Since June 1st, since really getting back Josh Hader, they've been absolutely dominant here, as they've been a top five team in terms of bullpen ERA, sub 325 ERA in that time span, as obviously Hader has been able to really fortify things. But additionally, you've been able to have someone like a Bennett Sosa come in there, give you a sub 350 ERA. Brian King has seen his ERA go to right around about a four, but after a disastrous start to the season, Brian Abreu is still overall for the season a four plus ERA, but he's been significantly better for this team as well. So I'm liking what I'm seeing there. And then on the other end of things for the Athletics, since July 1st, going into the game on Friday, 722 bullpen ERA. Good grief. Like, you just don't have any trustworthiness in this bullpen whatsoever, aside from maybe Hogan Harris. Hogan Harris has been able to give you a sub 4 ERA, but even he blew a game against the Royals about a week or so ago. Luis Medina is down to about a 350 ERA. Scott Blewett hasn't been the world's worst, and that's about all the positive that I'm able to say for this bullpen. They're kicking the tires on someone like a Taylor Rashi. You've gotten nothing whatsoever at someone like a Jeff Hartley, but they've trotted out there. Scott Barlow, I'm pretty sure that they might be DFAing him soon as well. Elvis Alvarado's been terrible. And well, I think that this is just a terrible spot here for the Athletics. Like, the over semi-total at 8.2, up to a minus 117 is what I'm going to lay on that Astros run line. 969, 970 on the card. The Tigers are going to be on the road against the Royals, and Michael Wacha gets a start for the Royals. If it's a bad start, it's a dying Pac-Man voice for Michael Wacha of Michael Wacha 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 Wacha. And then Drew Anderson gets a start here for the Detroit Tigers. Tigers are finding themselves as a very slim underdog here, anywhere between minus 105 to even money. Meanwhile, minus 105 to minus 118, that number on Kansas City, and half is the total. Over is anywhere between minus 110 to a minus 115. Minus 105 to minus 110 is the under. And I've been on the Tigers, set them at a minus 103. And for Michael Wacha, he's been very solid here for the Royals, even though he's not going to give you a lot of strikeouts, only about 6.9 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he's been able to do a really good job holding things down with only about 2.4 walks per 9 innings, and has been at his best at home, a 3.21 home ERA compared to a 3.89 ERA on the road. Now, does give up closer to about 1.4 home runs per 9 innings when he is in Kauffman Stadium with them moving the fences in. And then Drew Anderson was beginning the season as a little bit of a bullpen piece for the team, and he has become a starter, and in his last three starts, he has given up a combined 4 runs, maybe not the world's greatest amount of length, but still, 12 and 2/3 innings. The Tigers are going with bullpen madness like they did two seasons ago, and it's working overall for the season for Anderson. 10.3 strikeouts per 9 innings. You can expect maybe like a time end as a bit of a bulk guy. He's been able to give you a sub 3 ERA. We're starting to see Kyle Finnegan regress a little bit, and Kenley Jansen could easily be Kenley Jansen, so that's a little bit of an issue as well. But I really do like the way that the Tigers have revamped this bullpen. Tyler Holton has been able to give you a sub 325 ERA. Drew Summers has been solid. Since June 1st, the Tigers have been a top 5 team in terms of bullpen ERA, and the lineup all of a sudden has a lot more life as well. A.O. Lee, Gleyber Torres, along with Max Clark, all in between about a 270 to a 275 entering the game yesterday. You get back Javi Baez off the injured list. You've been able to get amazing production out of Eduardo Valencia in a small sample size. He's hitting above a 340 right now with like 6 home runs and 60 at-bats. So, I mean, that's been great. You need more on-base out of Spencer Torkelson, but Kevin McGonigal, 385 on-base, Owen Dingler, 24 plus home runs. And then for the Royals, they average more than a full run per game at home rather than away from home, with having the fences moved in at Kauffman Stadium. Bobby Wood Jr., 363 on base, over 15 home runs. And then Vinny Pascantino, since coming off the injury list, has been tall, but really not a lot of home run power there. Salvador Perez, 15 plus home runs, but a 264 on base. You've had Carter Jensen be able to launch 16 plus home runs. And Jack Aglione, he's up to 20 plus home runs, but for the Royals, you have to have all sorts of issues with this bullpen. Second worst in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA, as you've got so many of these schlubs. Matt Strom was pretty much on the injury list right now. I don't know if we see him all season long for the rest of the season. Steven Cruz, Craig Kimbrell, these are all guys who've been giving an ERA above a 350. It's been a rough season for Lucas Ursich. Alex Lang has not been any good whatsoever. And I do think that for the Tigers, they find a way to get to Blaka and get the job done. I did set my total at 8.7, so wanted to take the even money line price here of the Detroit Tigers. And right now, we're seeing that total between an 8.5 to a 9. Personally, I would rather take the 8.5 to the over. 971, 972 on the card. The Metropolitans are on the road against the White Sox. Luis Castillo goes for the White Sox. Christian Scott, Great Scott, goes for the Mets. Total on this game is 8.5, under is minus 120. The over is even for the White Sox, minus 111 to minus 119 is that number on them, and even money to plus 101 for the Mets. I'm going to be willing to take a shot here on the White Sox. I did set them at a minus 123 for Luis Castillo. If you look at the overall season numbers, not necessarily been great. Began his season with the Seattle Mariners, and he is supplying only about 8.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, a 4.99 ERA with a field day dependent, more on about a 4.53 because he has been giving up about 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. But I do think that Chicago might be able to straighten him out a little bit. That first start that he had against the Boston Red Sox got little blaze there, but last two starts, he's been looking a little bit better. Do recognize that against the Chicago White Sox, had a little bit of a shortfall there, but his first home start, 10 punch outs, one hit allowed, and 7 shutout innings against the Reds, so this could be a ballpark that very much plays to him. And then for Christian Scott, he has been a strikeout artist, 11.2 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he does give up the 3.7 walks per 9 innings. The Mets have actually played some inspired baseball without Juan Soto, scoring more than a half a run per game more without him in the fold than they did prior to his injury, so that's been nice to see as Carson Bench has been able to give you 14-plus home runs. He's hitting the neighbor at about a 275. Bo Bichette has been able to give you a double-figure amount of homers. He's hitting at 265. Jacob Young is hitting about a 265. Now, you need more out of Brett Beatty, Marcus Simeon, Luis Robert. These have been guys that have been absolutely awful. But hey, AJ Ewan has given you about a 325 on base, but you do have to have some trepidations with this bullpen as well, because for the Mets, they trade away all their good pieces at the deadline. So now, Daniil Nunez, Dan Duarte, Kodai Senga. These are your guys that you're trotting out there in the bullpen, and Kodai Senga, I mean, he's got the new theme song to just beat it for his closeouts at home. So that's interesting to say the least, but how about the Chicago White Sox and the come up that we've been seeing from this bullpen as well? Since July 1st, they are actually fourth in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Trevor Richards has been a nice long guy that's been able to give you a sub 350 ERA. You're bringing Oscar Brisbane, ironically enough, from the Mets, Brian Hudson, Grant Taylor, Sean Newcomb. These have all been guys give you a sub 350 ERA. And for the White Sox, you've got a top 8 offense in terms of run creation. Trio of guys, Colson Montgomery, Montauk, Murakami, Miguel Vargas, all give you at least 25 home runs. Now for Montgomery, less than a 300 on base, but Vargas, even though he only hits a 242, about a 350 on base. Murakami, hitting a 227, but again, north of a 355 on base. You've got Tristan Peters hitting about a 270. You've got, along with that, Chase Meadroth giving you about a 345 on base. Same in Donacci has been able to move line. So I do think that the White Sox get the job done here. One delay up to minus 122 on the money line. I like the under. Somebody tell it at 80.1. 973, 974 on the card. It is the Mariners, and they are going to be playing those to the Chicago Cubs as David Peterson, great name, goes for the Cubs. Kate Anderson is on the bump for the Mariners. Mariners are a slim favorite here of between minus 115 to minus 120. Even money to plus 105. That number on the Cubs, 7.5 to 8 is the total. On the 8, under is minus 115. The over is minus 105. On the 7.5, over is minus 120. The under is even money. Semi money line price at a minus 139. I'm going to be willing to lay it. Kate Anderson was so good with the LSU Tigers a few years ago at the college ranks, and now he's come up. And in AA Arkansas, they typically don't like to bring their pitchers to AAA Tacoma because, I mean, that's a juice ball league out there in the PCL where it just kills your confidence. But, I mean, in the minor league level, 10-1 record, 106 ERA, 13 strikeouts per 9 innings. Like, good grief. This guy is the real deal right here. And then for David Peterson, he's been better than the 529 ERA would indicate. Now, he's not getting a lot of strikeouts, fewer than 8 strikeouts per 9 innings, about like 3.8, 3.9 walks per 9 innings, but a 4 fielding dependent. He's only giving up 0.9 home runs per 9 innings. And for the Seattle Mariners, they enter in the series dead stinking last in terms of run creation. Now, talking with our good friend Curtis Rogers in the previous segment, I do think that this goes northward a little bit. Getting Brandon Donovan back is huge. He's been able to give you over a 340 on base. Randy Arozarena has been rock solid, 17 home runs. He's been able to give you about a 370 on base. Dom Canzone, Julio Rodriguez, they're both up to 19 home runs apiece, with Canzone give you over a 340 on base. You've had Taylor Ward be able to move line, but he's giving you no power whatsoever. And then Cal Raleigh hitting a .156, not great to say the least. Meanwhile, for the Chicago Cubs, you've got Peter Armstrong, 31 bombs, 380 on base. He has been tremendous for this team. And then Ian Happ, Zay Suzuki, 20-plus home runs apiece. Now, for Happ, he's only hitting 214, but he's been able to give you about a 325 on base. Michael Buescher has been able to give you about a 350 on base. Alex Bregman, he's starting to move the line a little bit more. He's up to 16 home runs for the Cubs. Do have to have a little bit of trepidation with the bullpen, mainly because you do have a lot of guys that are on the injury list. You've been without Porter Hodge for the entirety of the season. You have Hobie Milner that's currently on the injury list. should be getting back Daniel Palencia for this series. That'll be nice. Jacob Webb, Trent Thornton, they've been able to give you a sub-3 ERA and them for the Seattle Mariners. Been a little bit shaky with the bullpen because they are really experiencing the injuries to Matt Brash along Cooper Kurzweil. You've seen the ERA of Jose Ferrer go above 350. Andres Munoz had a little bit of a disastrous, shall we say, stint out there in Houston, but still, overall been solid. I don't like Sir Anthony Dominguez whatsoever. Not great to say the least, but I do think that for Cade Anderson, he's going to be able to go out there, get the job done here. Like the under sub, I told 7.6 on the 8 total, and I'm going to be willing to take the Mariners on the money line. Made them a minus 139, 975, 976 on the card. The Giants are going to be on the road against the Red Sox as Patrick Sandoval is on the bump for the Red Sox. Blade Tidwell goes for the Giants, and the Giants who find themselves as a pretty sizable underdog here. And between plus 179, I'm currently seeing as high as a plus 190 out there, and then you've got minus $2, minus 220 on Boston. 8.5 is the total. Under is minus 120, and the over is even. Give me Blade Tidwell. I said this at a plus 187. I just can't quit Blade Tidwell. I'm not sure why, but I think that this guy has quite a bit of upside for the team. I think that he's only like 24, 25 years old, and for Mr. Tidwell, he is posting up a 4.33 ERA, lower 3.79 fielding dependent, pitches to quite a bit of contact, 6.7 strikeouts to 3.3 walks per 9 innings, and last go of it was disastrous against the Colorado Rockies, but prior to that, 2 earned runs or fewer given up in each out of his last 4 appearances, so I do think that he might be able to rise up in this spot, and then you've got a guy in Patrick Sandoval who he's been doing a solid job since coming off the injury list, but did get little blaze in his last start out. He does end up giving up that 7th spot against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Overall, he's posting up a 3.68 fielding dependent with his 4.76 ERA. Swing and miss stuff is there. 9.3 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's had a little bit of a walks issue with 4.2 walks per 9 innings. Should benefit from facing off against the Giants team that entered this series. A bottom 10 team in terms of run creation, but they did get to Sonny Gray yesterday. Rafael Devers has been giving you over 24 home runs. He's up to about a 2.50 average. Willy Adames giving you no on baseball whatsoever, but hey, 19 plus home runs there. Bryce Eldridge has been able to give you about a 340 on base. Drew Gilbert, he's up to about a 325 on base. And then you've got these guys like Osvaldo Bosby and company. They're young guys who are doing a relatively good job there. Meanwhile, for the Boston Red Sox, they're averaging over 5 runs per game since the All-Star break. Adley Rutschman is starting to be able to find his stride. Wilson Contreras continues to carry the mail. 26 home runs, over a 390 on base. But Zidane Rafael, 9 plus home runs since the All-Star break. Wyler Abreu, he is wild out. Over 20 home runs for him. Caleb Durbin, over the last 60 days, he's been hitting above a 275. Andrew Mariserio's moving line. And for the Red Sox, this has been a team that has been numero uno in terms of bullpen area. Didn't necessarily get the start that they were hoping for out of Sonny Gray yesterday, but these guys like Eric Miller, Giovanni Moore, and Teron Guerrero, they've all been able to give you a sub-350 on base. And then Aroldis Chapman is obviously able to close it out. And for the San Francisco Giants, man, they are now a bottom 8 team in terms of bullpen area. They just put Keaton Wynn on the injury list, Jason Foley, Carson Seymour. These are guys that aren't knocking your socks off. They've got an ERA well above a 450. I still do like what you're getting out of Sam Entges, JT Brubaker and company, sub-375 ERA, but I do think that for Blade Tidwell, he's going to be able to give you a relatively solid start. I think that there's runs to be had out there in Boston, sub-total at 8.6, so I like the over, and I'm going to be willing to take a shot here on Blade. Was willing to take a plus 188 or higher on that money line. 977, 978 on the card. The Guardians are going to be on the road facing off against the Rockies as Gabriel Hughes goes for the Rockies and Tanner Bibee for the Cleveland Guardians. Guardians, minus 135 to minus 145 favorites, plus 120 to plus 125. Then around Colorado, 11 is the total. Over is minus 110 to a minus 120. The under is between even a minus 110. And for the Guardians, I did set them at a minus 138. I'm going to be willing to take a shot on them on the money line now. For Tanner Bibee, he has seen a career low in strikeouts, and he is giving up quite a bit of hard contact, a 401 ERA compared to a 465 fielding dependent, 7 strikeouts of 1.5 home runs allowed per 9 innings. So we've seen some massive regression ever since he was a candidate for Rookie of the Year a few years ago. And for Gabriel Hughes, after a really good start at the big league level, he's starting to regress a little bit as well. Now, if you look at the advanced numbers, he's still been able to do a pretty rock solid job. He has pitched better than that 669 ERA would indicate, 357 fielding dependent, 7.9 strikeouts per 9 innings. Not going to just wow you, but only about 0.7 home runs per 9 innings. But again, you're pitching at Coors Field and you're pitching with the Colorado Rockies bullpen that is right there at the bottom of the National League in terms of ERA. So many of these guys like Jay Neal, Jimmy Erga, Nick Frazo, along with Juan Mejia, who've been supplying an ERA well above a 425. Jordan Romano in a Carl Ryder Rockies uniform has not been bad, but he also has been very untrustworthy over the last few years, to say the least. And Hunter Goodman, he is a good man with 34 home runs, but now him being on the injury list, that does sort of destroy this lineup. You still have a trio of guys, Jake McCarthy, Willie Castro, TJ Bromfield, all between 13 to 14 home runs. Bromfield and McCarthy both hitting above a 290. Kyle Karros has made a move line when he's been out there as well. Do need more out of Ezekiel Tovar. He, Edouard Julien, whenever he's been out there, these guys hitting a 215 or lower, that's been a little bit of an issue for the team. But Cole Carey, I like what I'm seeing out of him, a 364 on base. And then Mickey Moniak, 20 plus home runs. Flip side for the Cleveland Guardians overall for the season. They've been a bottom six team in terms of overall run production. And you do have a lot of guys who have been dead bats for the team, but now you pick up Joe Adell, who's gotten 17 plus home runs this season. Not a lot of on base out of him, but you do have Stephen Kwan, Chase Sabater give you over a 355 on base. You've actually gotten a little bit of something out of Austin Hedges, who's giving you about a 340 on base. Not a lot of power there. Brian Rocchio starting to regress a little bit, but Nathaniel Lowe, he's been able to give the team already a pair of bombs in his first 40 or so at bats with the team. And for the Cleveland Guardians, they have the far better bullpen in terms of ERA. Recognize that you've been seeing a little bit of regression here out of Eric Sobrowski. He has been posting up an ERA above a 350. Hunter Gaddis has been up and down all season long, about a 338 ERA. But Franco Hellman, it's been a nice find for this team. He's been able to give you a sub 350 ERA. Obviously, Cade Smith, Colin Holderman, they've been able to give you a sub 275 ERA. Holderman's been dealing with a little bit of an injury, but Matt Festa has been able to rise up for the team as well. Do you think that you get some run scoring here at elevation? So my total 11.2, like the over, and I'm going to be taking the Guardians here, set them at a minus 138, so in on that money line. Wrap things up with 979, 980 on the card. The Padres are going to be playing us to the Twins. Dean Kramer goes for the Twins. Casey Mize is on the bump for the Pods. Pods do find themselves between minus 154 to minus 172 favorites, plus 130 to plus 150, then around Minnesota. 7.5 to 8 is the total. The 7.5 has overdrew, so minus 130, and the under is plus 110. Meanwhile, on the 8, over is minus 115, the under is minus 105, and I'm going to take the 8 to the over. I did set my total at a 8.2 for Dean Kramer. He's been a little bit better since joining the Minnesota Twins, but if you look at him overall for the season, he has given up a lot of hard contact. And it starts with the Minnesota Twins. He's given up 6 runs over the course of 3 starts and only 1 home run, but still overall for the campaign, 2.2 home runs allowed per 9 innings. Swing and miss stuff is up to about 8.9 strikeouts per 9 innings, but a 5.40 ERA, 5.17 fielding independent. And then on the flip side, you've got a guy in Casey Mize that had that just rough first start against the Arizona Diamondbacks when they had Ketel Marte in the fold. But other than that, he's been pretty superb this season. A 3.18 ERA, a 2.88 fielding independent, only giving up 0.6 home runs per 9 innings, 8.5 punchouts per 9 innings, backed up by a Padres bullpen that is third in the National League in terms of bullpen ERA. We all know about Mason Miller, but a lot of these other mix and match guys have just been absolutely incredible for this team as well. Like, you've had Yuki Matsui, Wandy Peralta, Bradley Rodriguez, who've all been able to give you a sub 375 ERA. I mean, even someone like a Kyle Hart in a little bit of a long roll has not been awful for this team. And for the San Diego Padres, ever since the All-Star break, they're having darn near 5 runs per game. You've got Fernando Tatis Jr. hitting 10 home runs since the All-Star break after he had 5 prior to the All-Star break. Jackson Merrill hitting well above a 325 ever since the All-Star break. Manny Machado, 24 home runs. He's only hitting about a 215 for the season, but again, much better here in the second half. Xander Bogaerts, Gavin Sheets, you need a little bit more there. But Ty France, he's up to about a 350 on base with 17 home runs. Flip side, you've got a Minnesota Twins team that has Byron Buxton back in the fold, but he has not looked like himself ever since his last few injured list stints, so that's a bit of an issue. You've been able to have Cody Clements be able to rise up, be able to give the team 20 plus home runs. And Josh Bell, ever since June 1st, he's been providing an over 340 on base, and he's been able to spy 17 home runs this season. Brooks Lee is up to 18 home runs. Royce Lewis has been much better ever since they sent him down to the minor league level. You know, something like an Austin Martin, doesn't hit for a ton of power, but about a 352 on base. You've had Lucas Shaw give you about a 365 on base. Ryan Jeffers moves the line as well, but it's also a Minnesota Twins team that while they revamp the bullpen, bringing in Jeff Hoffman, they bring in AJ Minter, a pair of guys who have been able to overall for the season give you a sub 350 ERA. They're still a bottom 8 team in terms of opening ERA. I just have absolutely no faith whatsoever in someone like a Taylor Rogers with nearly a 5 ERA. Anthony Banda, whenever he's been out there, he's dealt with a little bit of injury. He and Travis Adams posting up an ERA well above a 340. Now, you've been able to have Yandries Gomez in a Twins uniform actually be amazing. Sub 2 ERA, that's been solid out of him, and Andrew Morris has been reliable as well, but do think that the Padres get to Kramer and the bullpen to be able to get you the over and get the job done. Set the Padres at a minus 168, like the money line, and I'm in on the over, so my total at 8.2, and that'll wrap things up for the Saturday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, whatever you for this podcast, you have one or two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline at @GNet_81. Keep in mind, Larsium, maybe does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And I'm with you guys every single day, giving you guys picks and analysis on every game every day. So I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.